Tonight, we discuss the horrible HOH week of Danny. Who will win the veto and will they use it? Will David, Kevin, Tyler, or Ian go home? We also discuss the new HOH and answer the question, is Memphis really a douche? But first, please welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, everyone. I'm Adam, and I am joined by Fatty this evening.
Hi!
And I completely turned the music down, but that's okay. We'll just go with it.
Well, you know, when you think of technology and technology never fucking up, you think of Daniel and Adam.
Well, it's true.
Every show they do, there's a fuck up on the technology.
Even though they're, experts in the audio.
You do think that, but my finger slipped. I mean, it wasn't really a technology thing at
now,
all. My
finger. I believe your finger slipped earlier, also, didn't it?
Well, no, everything was good. I checked.
Okay.
And dipstick. You know, everything came back dry, so it's all good.
Okay. Well, as Faye will tell you, you always need to check your dipstick.
That's right. Give it a good smear.
I mean, normally it's not supposed to be
dry. I want to see a show of hands. When's the last time people in this room checked the oil in their car? Anybody?
Not me.
Today?
Okay. No. You did it today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had my car 3 years. I don't even think I've opened up the hood.
Oh, my heart.
I'm not sure where the dipstick is.
We should talk about Mike Lawson's new car. Do you know how to check the oil in your car?
I mean, do I know how? Probably.
Right, okay.
Probably. Doesn't sound too confident.
Congratulations on your Fiat. Is it Fiat 500? Is it the Pop or is it a different?
The Pop. Right. It's a cute little thing.
Yeah, they're adorable. They're fun to drive, those cars. I'm a big fan.
Does it just fold up and go in your pocket when you?
They say you could fit two people in the back, and there's no way. Like maybe one person could fit back there, but even that is a stretch.
Would Batance fit back there? Okay.
I mean, maybe.
I have the video recording of this, Mike. TikTok later. But first, speaking of, we'll go on through this. So welcome, Mike. We've talked
Thanks.
To you. So we'll, we're also joined by Moose P, who hasn't said a thing.
I'm just sitting here just laughing my ass off. I mean, this has been a fun group so far.
Oh, good.
We'll laugh into the microphone.
I'm glad you're appreciative, Moose. We're glad to have you here. At least laugh audibly so we all feel really funny. I also learned, so earlier I was telling everyone that I was catching up on Catching Up, which is the show that Mike Lawson does and with Joe Batanz. And I learned that Mike is the comedian of But First. So, he brings the laughs.
Yep.
So I just wanted to, so everyone.
Well, he doesn't like to talk about it, right. But he does have a degree in comedy.
So everyone listen for Mike's set during this show, that he's trying out for his stint at the
Excuse me,
Laugh Factory.
That's in the Patreon section.
Oh, yeah. We're also joined by Archer. Hello, Archer.
Hello, everyone.
And your new Apple Watch.
My new Series 6 Apple Watch. Yep.
Looks nice. Looks exactly like the Series 5 Apple Watch, but
it is.
I'm sure it has a lot of new features.
Oh, I won't be spending that inheritance anytime soon.
And speaking of, inheritance, I don't know. We were also joined by Faye. Hello, Faye.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everyone today?
Faye, I just want to say this about Faye. Faye has been so successful in his career as 911 dispatcher, as fire marshal Bill, in all of his car escapades. He's become an expert in all of this. And quite frankly, y'all, the only thing left for the only award and all left or recognition left for Faye is in memoriam. So anyway.
All right. Thank you. I'll look forward
to Mike Lawson taught me that joke, and I said it for him because, you know, he's the comedy genius.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he wrote it in our script. I did. Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking forward to having one of the two of you to be my eulogizer.
Oh, I do good eulogies.
Is there a word for that? A eulogizer? Yeah, called, I mean, is that really the word, or would it be a eulogist?
It's a preacher.
Okay. All right. Well,
somebody that is not afraid to stand in front of people and talk into a microphone.
Well, I mean, a lot of times it's not the preacher. A lot of times it's like some family member or something like that, you know, writes the eulogy and then stands up.
I eulogized my mother, but I'm not a preacher.
You know, Queen Latifah is going to be in a remake of The Equalizer. So maybe, you know, one day we'll get someone that, you know, who's the eulogizer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm here every week. All right. So
Sam and Alex aren't here because Sam had family issues and Alex goes to bed right before Final Jeopardy. And Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee, couldn't be bothered.
Well, he was traveling.
Yeah, so
isn't he racing home now to get here to join us for the third set?
Yeah, but there's a kappa on the road, a kappa.
So apparently Chris is a traveling encyclopedia salesman, and he was traveling today. And so, yeah.
From New Jersey to Tennessee.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's where he gets his name. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I don't know. You know, he used to be a Fuller Brush man. Now, none of y'all.
I know what a Fuller Brush man is.
Me too.
I know it.
I am a convert. I love my brushes.
The Fuller brushes are really good.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike and Adam are going, what the fuck are these old fuckers talking about?
Tell us.
Well, before vacuum salesman came around.
Oh, right.
You know, the vacuum probably wasn't invented at the time, but there were these traveling salesmen and they would sell these Fuller brushes. They'd show up at your front door with a suitcase full of different kinds of brushes for cleaning purposes, right?
And for hair.
Oh, and for hair. I didn't know.
Right.
Was this a different brush, or are they like interchangeable? You know, brush your hair, you know, brush the floor and then...
You had to buy a separate one for each one.
Anyway, so that's the Fuller Brush Man.
Okay. I don't know. I the only thing I know is encyclopedias because we had a I want to say it was called Child's Craft. It was like World Book, but then they had a children's version, and so we had the whole set of the children's version.
Child's Craft,
or whatever. All right. As interesting as this is, let's talk about Big Brother. How about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So we're starting on episode number 18, the Tuesday, September 15th. What has happened here? It's day 38. We're finally starting to see some day placards pop up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere around day 38, David and Kevin have been nominated by Danny. David will use his superpower. Kevin is overwhelmed. On the last episode that I wasn't on of But First, you guys were talking about who was the person who keeps complaining about the worst gay. That's me. Remember, you were talking about some of us, Adam.
We don't have
an appreciation for good gays, and you were talking about Kevin being talking about his experience trying to represent every homosexual in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy who hates the worst gay or bad examples of gays.
Are you saying that basically Adam is the Kevin of the Butt First podcast because he wants to please everybody?
No, if I was going to be the Kevin of Butt First, I would need, I mean, this is not a video podcast, but I would need to, this is just for all of you on video, I would need to go.
Oh, yeah. Kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring, yeah. And say I love you to whoever his boyfriend or his partner is.
Boyfie.
If I was Kevin. Anyway,
speaking of Kevin, just for one second, has anybody else noticed that he's carrying this yellow towel around on his shoulder, like the last three episodes? It's like, what is the significance of that? Does anybody know?
He's incontinent.
It's his crying towel.
It's yeah, so I can just, check
like, could be that.
Like Linus, you know what I mean? Like you get, I just thought how some people pick up hats and or shirts or sweatshirts and kind of stick to them for the summer. That's kind of what I was seeing.
Maybe he's
I noticed it too though.
Maybe he's the only one who's cleaning the house. Because when I walk around cleaning the house or doing the dishes, I always have a towel on my shoulder.
Well, this is like a beach towel.
Well, maybe he sweats a lot, you know, and he just wants to like wipe off his forehead so he doesn't look shiny on camera.
Well, he wants to keep up his worst gay image by imitating the Faye driver by having a towel. Thank you, Archer. I'm here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm upstaging.
That's my Lawson. Job, fatty.
Right. All right. Get on it, Lawson.
Anyway, has that was just an observation. Go ahead.
Yeah. Has anybody noticed that there has not been this, does anybody want to come see my HOH room?
I noticed that early on.
Do you think it's because they're just cutting that out or that everyone who's been playing this game, the returnees, the all-stars, are just all like, oh, we don't fucking care. Just go pretty read much. Your letter.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know which it is, but I think that is definitely a scripted thing. So if they're not showing it, they must have decided they didn't want to do it this season.
Well, remember previous seasons, they would make it, the head of household would make a big deal. It's like, who didn't come to see my room?
Uh-huh.
You know, but we haven't seen that this season at all.
Well, I didn't go see it. They don't give a shit.
No.
There's like,
they're just being honest.
They're just phoning it in this season.
Can we talk a little bit about David's performance going around saying, who used the power? Who took me off?
Oh, my God.
The fake tears.
The worst actor ever.
Awesome. He was just a total idiot with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because Cody went right up to him and said, David, you're not fooling anybody.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> We're all returning players, dude. You know, what do you think? Also, I know we haven't gotten there yet, but I mean, I was like, why even lie about it? Like, doesn't it look more impressive to say, hey, I won this thing and I used it on myself? I don't really understand like the goal of.
Well, I don't understand why he was crying about it. Like someone was so nice to him that they took him off the block. Well, what?
He just wanted to.
David doesn't know how to play the game.
No, he doesn't. This is really his first season.
He wanted to show his fake tears. He was so impressed that he was able to.
And he's looking forward to the chance of getting blood on his hands, and he's probably going to cut his palm so there's actual blood there.
I feel like Mike wants to say something. So
I was just going to say that I don't think it's the worst idea to kind of like slyly ask somebody to kind of throw off the scent or something, but he went overboard and like put on this like elaborate performance that made it so obvious what he was doing to, you know, exactly. And everybody.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to point out that I was the one who said that if David wants to garner some support in the game, that he has to show more emotion because he was such a robot in the first few weeks. So I think he's just taking my cue, right?
But it didn't work for him.
Maybe at the wrong moment though. You know? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I do. Hey,
saying that you'd like to retract that statement?
No, I stand behind it. I think he's doing exactly what he needed to do. Unfortunately, he should have done it to like one or two people, not every single person in the, did you do it? Did you take me off? So stupid.
Well, I
he
do,
really is.
I do feel bad for David though, in this whole three episode. Because I cannot stand it. The thing that bothers me I can't watch Big Brother before bed. Mark told me last night, he's like, we have to put something happy on after Big Brother before bed because you get so worked up by these episodes that you're like so stressed out, and we have to put on something, you know, funny and light. And because I get so worked up, but I hate it when people point blank accuse someone of doing something that they did not do, knowing that they didn't, that person didn't. So when they accuse him of being the one who flipped the vote, And he has no way. Like, if I was in the house and someone did that to me, I would open that door. I would walk out on that stage. I would go out the exit, the stage door, get in my car and leave. I'd be like, I'm out. Like,
yeah, but that's playing the game.
Because you can't prove it. Like, there's no way that he can prove that they're in the voting booth. Like, nobody knows except the producers and the audience at home. And people are accusing him of flipping. And he didn't. I felt so bad. Like, because there's nothing. And Davon is so mad at him. And he didn't even, like, he followed the plan. It was so, I'm so emotional.
You're getting ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're jumping ahead here.
Mike, what did you want to say?
I'll wait till we get there then.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, wait, I mean, okay.
I'm emotional. Keep going.
No, we're
all good. Right.
So David just took himself off the block.
Yeah. Okay. David comes off. He can't be renominated. So Danny nominates Tyler. This is the episode that I like to call Danny Squirms, because this entire Wednesday or Tuesday show, it's all Danny, and all her machinations about what trying to control this game, which she ends up doing kind of pretty good. But anyway, let's get through it. All right. David comes off. Danny nominates Tyler. Cody is mad. Tyler's not surprised. Danny tries to convince Tyler that she doesn't actually want him gone. I don't think anybody believes it. Tyler certainly doesn't seem to. We've already talked about this. David, everybody knows David saved himself.
Well, I hate to admit this about Tyler, but I mean, I like Tyler. I don't dislike Tyler, but I just have a problem with anyone who's winning. I just don't like winners in general.
With zero body fat.
But the thing is,
probably a big penis.
I have to admit, though, he probably is the best player in that house. Because of the way he controls his emotions and like never shows anyone that he's mad at them. Like, he's always just happy go lucky. You put him on the block and he's still smiling at you and like, oh, I completely understand. You know, I'm hurt, but I don't know. I feel like the way he's playing it, he gives nobody any reasons to really dislike him or I don't know. I feel like he's playing a really good game.
I don't know. Danny is sure punching a lot of buttons this week. I mean, she's manipulating a lot of people.
And I think she realized she was getting in a little too deep with all the people she was talking to, too.
Maybe so. I hope she's finally learned, but maybe.
I think she's painted an extra ring on the target on her back.
Mm-hmm. You can tell she's related to Evil Dick.
Yeah. Yes.
She's also drawing suspicion from her alliance members by wanting to put up all of her alliance members too, right? She's floated Tyler, Christmas, and Memphis as possible replacements for to go on the block. So, okay, we come to the veto picks. Danny picks Davon. Tyler picks Ian. And Mopey picks Enzo. Mopey being Kevin. Hmm. Kevin picks Enzo. Nicole comes, so we start the competition. Nicole comes out with her giant ray gun.
Now, we should say that before the competition, Danny asked Davon if she won, that she would keep the nominations the same.
That's
and there
right.
was a big deal there, and Davon did promise that. So,
mm-hmm. To Danny, ahead. Yeah. Okay, the teletransporter gun comes out, and everyone is transported to Tiny Town, where they have these giant tweezers, and they have to stack these teeny little beer cans. Micro Brews is the name of the competition. It's pretty tense, though. I don't know. Do we know how long this competition took?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I loved it when... I think it was Tyler who almost got the whole thing done, and then he breathed and blew them all off the
thing. He's like, like he was so relieved, and then the whole thing falls over.
Yeah, so frustrating. Could you imagine, eh?
I've never seen this particular game. Maybe others have. I kind of liked it. I mean, I like having a new game that I haven't seen before. And, it seemed challenging.
I like the angle that they were shooting it from, like kind of below and up, because their faces were huge in those squares and their hand was coming in off the side.
And
it
well,
like,
and there's not a lot of angle. There's not a lot of Big Brother games that require a steady hand. It's usually big throwing and building and all this kind of stuff.
Good point. Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Or endurance or memory even.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, that angle, Archer, they got from the angle of Fatty's camera on Zoom calls where we're looking right up his nostrils. that's where they got that from. They.
I will say, though, you're saying that it's a new skill that they're using in a comp. And I think that that's great. And it also is Davon's first win in a comp. And, I think those are very related things. Like, they should kind of have a diversity of skills so that a diversity of people can win. And it's not always the same three guys, you know, Cody and Tyler can just win everything.
She was so excited about winning too.
Yeah.
Spoiler, Davon won.
Oh.
Well, I thought we already knew that.
I mean, I don't think anything's a spoiler on this show because theoretically people who are listening to our show have already watched these episodes. So.
The closest thing we came to a spoiler tonight was Adam was almost a soiler, but anyway.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm so glad that I stopped the show. I don't like the spoilers, and when I listen back to the episode, I stop it before you nerds do the spoilers. I'm so glad I didn't hear last week's spoilers. Would have been devastating to me to hear all the stuff that happened.
Well, I just want everyone to know
spoilers last week.
I take one for the team because I'm recording and doing all that. You know, I listen to the spoilers, but it totally ruins those two episodes for me.
But you still got mad at Mittens when you watched the TV show.
I don't get mad at Mittens. I just get stressed out in general.
He was mad because he went to Twitter, and I think he used all 288 characters.
Nobody
ripping Memphis a new asshole.
I only got a couple of likes on that one, and they were from people that I don't even know, which I guess is good. Maybe I got a couple of new followers, but I was mad.
Okay, so Davon wins veto. Yeah. Danny, she wants to use Davon goes to Danny and says, I don't know if I can not use this because my guy, Kevin, is up there and I really feel I need to save my guy. And Danny, like, totally mean girls her and, like, lays on this guilt trip. And, it was so oppressive the way that Danny was just really pressuring Davon to play Danny's game, right?
Well, does anyone else find it strange that after all of these many weeks and all of the fans yelling over the fence and everything that's gone on, and people still don't seem to know who's in the main alliance? Like, how they don't know this already, and they're all stars. And, like, they're still wondering, like, who's aligned with who. I just, like, you know, I mean, it would be so revealing if Davon actually knew, Danny's in an alliance with Tyler and yada, yada, yada. You know, and I don't know how they're being so stupid as to not realize, like, who's playing together at this point.
I mean, what if that just means that, you know, I hate to say it because in my core feel that it's not true, but maybe that means Nicole's a good player. She's tricking him. Maybe that means Danny, you know, I mean, like, it's working, whether it's intentional or not, it's happening. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't like to think that though.
I know. Same.
Now, the odd thing about all of that you just talked about, Faye, is that Davon used the term, he's my go-to, or he's my number one, or whatever, which is exactly the reason she got nominated the week before by Christmas, and she didn't do anything. You know, I just thought that was odd.
I also don't like Christmas anymore. Thank you. Keep
going. I do still like
Christmas. Yeah. Well, don't foreshadow.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the ceremony, veto ceremony. Devon takes Kevin off. This was one of the nicest veto ceremonies I've ever seen. Like the Devon talking about saving her friend, basically. That was very touching.
And wasn't this the first one this season where somebody else took somebody else off of the block with the veto? Because we had people who won the veto, but they took themselves off. But this was the first where they took somebody else off.
Oh.
It might have been. It may be.
I think it was.
All right. And then Ian goes up. And Ian is mad at the end of that episode. He had bleeps.
Yes.
Okay. So we move on to the Thursday, September 17th episode.
Lava Vision.
Episode 19, The Eviction Night. Danny is the HOH. Tyler and Kevin are on the block. Danny is spinning all kinds of tales.
Tyler and Kevin are not on the block. Ian and Tyler are on the block.
I might beg your pardon.
Yeah, Kevin just got pulled off.
Ian. If Sam was here, that mistake never would have happened.
That's correct. We miss you, Sam.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We miss you, Sam.
Danny's spinning all kinds of tales to throw people off. Oh, wait a minute. We have to get to Moose's fashion feature. Moose.
Right.
We have Julie.
Do we have a bumper for that?
We have one, yes.
Okay.
Julie's outfit. She was wearing black leather pants. Well, yep. They look like fake leather, but.
Well, let's hope they were.
Oh.
A jacket that I can only describe as what a relatively cool grandma thinks is a fashionable jacket. And she had this necklace that looked like either a tooth or a horn. I couldn't figure out what
it was. Like a big tiger tooth.
Oh, okay. Whatever. It was a horrible outfit.
It really was.
You know, just sucked.
Did I just get a pity like from Mike Lawson on Twitter? That's what I want to know.
He went also, back and looked it up.
I was fine with her outfit. I'm okay with her outfit. It's fine.
She had a gold cross on as well to go with her new kindness image, brother, that she's trying to put out there.
Next week, she'll have a halo. As okay. She opens the new fortune. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
that was part of Mike's comedy routine. Okay.
No, it was not. No, oh, I don't remember.
Don't call him a lacist.
Okay. Okay. All right. So the whole veto ceremony happens at the top end. Sort of what we're seeing is the aftermath of the veto ceremony at the top end of this episode. So Devon has taken Kevin down and put Ian up, and then a lot of this is Ian, and it's all the Ian, Danny, and all these people talking about what happened. So,
and working the housemates for votes.
Right.
You know, it's interesting to me because we've talked about that Ian was like a really good player in his season. But I find it really interesting that he is not necessarily cluing in on things that he needs to be cluing. Well, we had some conversations where, oh yeah, Ian's been going around the house and, you know, telling people who he thinks is aligned with who and whatever, all that kind of stuff. We never really see that in the edited version, so that's always, I feels like that's always kind of behind the scenes, like on the live feeds. But I did think in this week, like Danny was feeding him a bunch of bullshit about him being, you know, him being just a pawn and all that, and he up until the end of the Sunday night episode was sure that Danny was going to, if it came to it, that Danny was going to vote to keep Ian. And she had no intentions of if that happened. And I felt like he did kind of pick up on, hey, I'm a really strong player. People are going to want to get me out, like all that. So I'll give that to him. But Danny really had him fooled. Like he was sure that she was in his corner.
I don't know that he was fooled.
Well, that's what
I was going to say, because
like.
he talked about being the ultimate
on
Ultimate Pawn.
Ultimate Pawn. Yeah, they're thinking that. But then he's like, what happens to pawns? They all go home. So, I mean, he was working through that in his head. Not that I'm not sure he went home.
If it had been a tie, how many think Danny would have voted Ian out?
Oh, voted Ian out?
Oh, yeah. Voted Ian out. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Okay. Everybody. So
she was going to keep Tyler no matter what.
It was really strange, though, because, I mean, at one point she really did want to get Tyler out, and then she just. I don't know if it was.
She's flip flopping too.
I don't know if it was a game move or if it was just being chicken.
It was the rest of the people telling her not to get rid of Tyler.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Cody. That's right.
And she also mentioned that she isn't going to take a punch unless she knows she's going to knock him out. And so she, you know, it just wasn't the right time for it. And she's being safe.
But if there had been a tie and she's the tiebreaker, that would have been a knockout.
Boom. Right. Yeah.
Well, also, too, that the votes were kind of screwed up anyway, because there was the people who thought they were voting to keep Ian in. And then who was the fourth person who didn't do it?
Nicole.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, though, Faye.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Let's just back up a minute. So Ian and Nicole go out to the backyard onto the hammock right after the veto ceremony. And Ian is obviously upset. He almost rocked poor Nicole out of that damn hammock. It was like, holy shit, man. Like, strap yourself in, Nicole.
Although Nicole was the one crying.
Well. I mean, right, imagine the position. Go ahead.
Beth. Go ahead.
Mike, you go ahead, Moose.
No, I was saying go ahead. Talking to you.
Mike sent me a Twitter message. Are we too early to talk about this?
No, I mean, no, not at all, actually. Okay. So before Ian, oh, yeah, we are.
Okay.
We are too early.
Okay, we'll come back to this in a second. Okay.
Well, let me whip through some things. Okay. You guys, Moose, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, okay. Not at this point.
Let's get through this. So, Danny's lying to Ian. Apparently, there was a four prime alliance. We never saw this. I don't know that we saw this. The four prime.
What, Ian, Cody,
Danny,
and someone.
Nicole.
That was the first I heard of it, though.
Yeah, we never saw that until.
Right. So there was this four prime, and I don't know if you caught this, but Nicole says, is four a prime number? It's not.
Bless her heart.
Okay, Memphis and Ian are talking. Ian goes to Memphis and says, will you vote for me? And Memphis basically says, that Ian was as big a target as Tyler is. So, and as we know, Memphis and Tyler are in an alliance. So Memphis is not going to break his alliance. He's very loyal to his alliance.
Which tells me that Ian didn't know that.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ian was not being as smart as what we thought he was. Cause the fact that he even, I mean, I would have thought by this point, he would have known that Memphis was on a side of the house that would want to keep Tyler, you know, and this whole conversation, it seemed like Ian had no clue. He even said, Ian had a one-on-one where he said, oh, Memphis is kind of a lone wolf player. He's playing a game all by himself. It sounded like he hadn't picked on the fact that Memphis was working with anyone at all, which, you know.
Remember when Ian said a couple of weeks ago, he said, well, I'm just going to lay low. I think he was laying so low that he didn't even pick up on any of these alliances, that he wasn't paying attention.
As I look back, I'm not so sure how much Ian was playing, period.
He laid too low.
This go around.
Maybe.
Okay. As we go to break, we see the two nominees sitting on their hot seats. And Ian is dressed in a suit. And Tyler is dressed for the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet again. Yeah, go ahead.
it drives. Every time we see that shot at the beginning of the live episode, Mark goes, well, I don't even have to watch it. I know who's going home.
Right.
You know, and I, and you know, the more I've, that Tyler could not have been more
relaxed,
underdressed, more relaxed. I mean, he might as well have just been sitting on the couch next to everyone else with Ian up there by himself. I mean, there was, they really need to fix that. They need to have equally dressed people.
I'm pretty sure those are Tyler's Sunday go to meeting.
Oh, you,
well, they may have been hit Tyler's suit. Right. Now, but didn't Tyler sometime during, or somebody say about Tyler, he sure isn't campaigning very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin and Davon talked about that. And that's when they realized, hey, Tyler's not going home.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin sort of sussed out that there is an alliance of some kind. I don't know that he got Big Fatty's rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
Well, because he didn't figure out all the participants. He just kind of gathered.
Okay, so I have various notes about who's pitching who on who should stay. Do we want to go through these, or should we just go to the vote?
I think there's one thing that we need to talk about, and that was when Nicole went out to the backyard and talked to Memphis, and Memphis and Nicole was doing her level best to talk Memphis into keeping Ian, and Memphis basically said, well, if you don't like what's going on, you can join them in the jury house.
Ooh.
And I mean that was brutal.
He did. And then Memphis got up and left, and then Cody was sitting there as well, and Nicole turned to Cody and she's like, do you think he was serious? And Cody's like, yeah, I think he was serious. You need to be careful. Because she was going around crying to everyone, basically trying. Now, she made a really valid point, and I thought, so she was going around to everyone because apparently Cody and Enzo are, you know, really tight. And so Cody would never vote out Enzo. And you know, Nicole makes a point to Cody that she doesn't think it was fair that Danny, you know, put up Ian, who was kind of her person who she would never vote out. And Enzo and Ian were kind of the two options. And Cody wouldn't even consider sending Tyler home. But if Enzo was the one there instead of Ian, Cody would absolutely send Tyler home and not Enzo. And she was like, you know, it's not fair that I don't get to keep my person, but you would absolutely keep your person. And Cody's just like, well, you know, it is what it is. Enzo's not up there, you know, too bad, so sad sort of thing. But I think she was not doing good gameplay going around everyone, but I feel like she really had a valid point. And
she did,
you know,
work hard though.
She really did.
She was doing her level best. Mm-hmm.
But she didn't realize that when she's talking like that, trying to get Ian to stay in, she's revealing herself that she had something going on with Ian and possibly getting her in trouble later to be put up on the block.
I think everybody in the house knew, apparently, that they were like best of friends. I don't know if they knew that they were working together, but it sounded like everybody knew that she would never send him home, basically.
Because they were in the winners club. They were both winners. So,
Mike, did you have something to say?
No, I just was going to bring up the video that Fatty was talking about earlier. Kind of shows, it makes her, it paints a kind of a grosser picture where she is a little more calculated in all of this. And she speaks to other housemates about on the feeds about how she needs to prepare a good speech with tears because she knows America's going to want this story. And it, I don't know, it kind of taints the, how I wonder how genuine all of it is because of that. That's,
well,
that's
and she,
something
she
that.
Even practiced what she was going to say and practiced crying. And
just, she made a joke about how she had to like walk sad and like was like practicing that kind of like in a goofy manner. And like context is important. And if you're kind of having a chummy moment with friends, that's one thing. But like, I don't know, it just makes me feel that maybe it's not so genuine.
Well, interesting that the editors completely left that out of the episode, because that would have been something to see.
Maybe they wanted that story, so they were going with Nicole. They're like, yep, that's what America wants. We're gonna feed America what they want.
Well,
and cut to, why don't we broadcast Victor and Nicole's wedding this fall on CBS? You know what I mean? Well, like, I feel like they do really like her, and they would love to have a two-time winner in her.
Or at the finale, you know. So, Nicole, you know, she's already been fired from her job, and she doesn't know all of this. And this just, she's really concerned of how she's being viewed,
seen, yeah,
and seen, and what America thinks of her, and all of this, and it's all good.
Uh-uh. Oh, I'm sure she has her followers, though. All right. Okay. Maybe not. All right. Let's go to the vote. So we have Ian and Tyler on the bench. Ian gives his speech saying something like, "It's frustrating and painful outside. Thank you, Big Brother, for giving us this opportunity to play. I have a lot to give. If I can help your game, vote for me." Tyler promotes his Knot and Chain and Angela's cookbook.
Don't be a clown. Keep Ty around.
So,
I mean, how much more blatant could you be about, "I know I'm not going anywhere tonight. I'm just going to do some advertising."
Well, you know? He's been influenced by Julie,
I guess.
So we get, in the end, we get 5 votes for Ian. It's Christmas, Enzo, Cody, Memphis, and dun dun dun, Nicole. And the 3 vote to have Tyler evicted: Davon, Kevin, and David, who will be the focus of next Sunday's episode.
We didn't really maybe you're going to mention it in the next episode, but the deal was, they had all thought that there was going to be a 4-4 tie, and it was going to be Davon, Kevin, David, and Nicole were going to vote to keep Ian. And they had all been convinced, or Davon, David, and Kevin had all been convinced by Danny and Nicole that Danny would then vote Tyler out and keep Ian. And, you know,
she'd have to be the tiebreaker.
She would be the tiebreaker, and that's how it was going to go. And Ian was also kind of told that at one point. You know, that if he had the votes for it to be a tie, Danny was going to keep him and send Tyler home, because she and Tyler were, you know, at each other's throats or whatever. And so it becomes very important in the next episode. But David had gone around and shook hands with people and said, "This is the plan. You know, I'm going to vote to keep Ian." So,
well, and you know, Ian was the ultimate pawn. So Ian, had it been a 4-4, I think Ian probably would have thought he was going to stay.
Well, that's what he led us to believe. He was
dressed and ready to go.
He did look good, though. He looked so handsome.
Oh, he was very cute looking. Very cute.
Oh, it's just adorable. Speaking of wardrobes, can we talk about this circus dress that Danny was wearing in this eviction episode?
Oh.
Like, what the hell is that thing? Like, when is the tightrope walk going to happen?
It looked like big petals from a flower all sewn together.
Let me know when you come out with your fashion line, Faye. I really want to see what's in your collection.
There'll be a lot of leather.
Moose, as the fashion expert, did you have an opinion about it?
Well, Danny always wears some really strange outfits. I mean, she did have the what I can call bell-bottom type pants. But also she had that Afghan that was made into a sweater.
Yeah.
That was awful. I mean, so
aside from her wardrobe, did we think it was odd that she chose not to use her power? So she could have used her power to play in the HOH competition and chose not to.
I think she was just so fed up with having to put so many people on the block this week. She didn't want to do it again.
Yeah. And I think she wants to lay low now.
She made an analogy. She compared Big Brothers to a card game and said that, you know, this week she had to show so many cards from her hand. She's, you know, she has some PTSD. I bet she's going to stay very low for a while.
PTSD. Mm-hmm.
And she never wanted this HOH anyway. She was just too slow to flop off the billboard. And she prefers to play from the shadows, not from, you know, the spotlight. Okay, Ian gets kicked out. Julie and Ian have their interview. Ian says it's a harder game than the first time he was there. He was very gracious in his exit. Like, it was
Julie
very...
loves her some Ian.
God, yeah. she was ready to go down on him, right?
Yes. She just kept telling him how much class he had and how impressed she was. And
well, when she first started to speak, it was like she couldn't even bring the words to her mouth. She was so caught up with him.
I want to hug you so much.
Yeah. And it was almost like she had a look on her face like if she had been in an audience, she would have been the girl who threw her panties, you know, sort of thing, you know.
And why could she not hug him? Because everybody in here has been quarantined for 45 days by now. Like, sure.
Yeah, I don't know why she does that. Maybe she's trying to protect him from getting anything.
Well, yeah, maybe, but I think it's optics.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We go to the HOH competition. As mentioned, Danny is not playing. She did not use her replay. It's called the Hydrant Hustle is the name of the game. All the players have to assemble a hydrant puzzle.
Enzo, by the way, I don't think has ever seen a fire hydrant. He had no idea what he was doing.
Or how to put a puzzle together.
We get teased about a legend moving into the neighbor house during this.
I think it's going to be that adult baby.
Oh, that would be awesome. Or the granny or whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever that guy is. Okay, and so we fade out of this episode, and before we go, Julie leaves us with a bit of wisdom.
Hang on. You know who's moving into the neighborhood or whatever.
No.
Who is it?
Is it?
It's me.
Does he make house calls?
No, everybody thinks, oh, let it be Dr. Will. It's going to be Zingbot.
She did say Zingbot was coming back, I thought.
I did hear Zingbot's coming, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no, Zingbot's not going to come in with them. He'll be up and far away.
Oh, because of quarantine.
Right.
His balcony will overlook the yard or something.
That's correct. So.
All right. Well, thanks for solving that mystery. Good.
Not a problem.
Okay. So we come to the Sunday's episode number 20 on September 20, 2020. A lot of 20s there. We open on the HOH competition. It's the Build the Fire Hydrant Hustle. We get this rehash of David voting for Ian. We've already kind of talked about this whole four votes, three votes, somebody didn't vote. Most of this episode is about David, Davon, and Kevin, and David, and Davon.
This was just
and Kevin.
Filler.
Kevin said it's like, well, if you're not lying and I'm not lying, and, you know, when he went around trying to figure out.
Well, this is the part that I felt so bad. I mean, I know you guys don't like David. I mean, I know nobody likes David, but. And I know he's not a great player. However, and it's probably really good gameplay what Nicole and Danny are doing. Great. But I just feel bad for him because, like, first of all, Davon and Kevin are stupid because they, you know, David is another number for them. Like, they have nobody. Like, Davon and Kevin have nobody except each other at this point. Davon can't figure out that Danny is like in another big old alliance that doesn't even include her. She has some, you know, thoughts that she's going to be working with Danny at some point or something. I don't know. And David is like an option for them to have like a number. And instead of believing him, giving him the benefit of the doubt, you know, whatever, to try to pull some numbers together so that they don't all just get picked off one by one. She wants to believe Nicole and Danny. Like, they're not even, they just have her so brainwashed into thinking that they're not working with her. Like, and Kevin even says at one point, I think we may be being used. I think Kevin says that. One of the three says it. I don't remember. And he's exactly right. David. They're being used I don't know. It's good gameplay on the part of Danny and Nicole, but it irritates me because if I was in David's position and nobody would freaking believe me and I have no way to prove to them, it would be so frustrating. I'm so frustrated.
Yeah, but I feel like he made his bed and now he's just having to lie in it. And if another player who had acted a little more rationally and gained the trust of others, then when this vote happened and he said, I swear it wasn't me, they'd understand and believe that. But he kind of has made himself out to be this kind of wild card that can't be relied on. So it would be nice if they could rely on him for the numbers, because you're right, they do need the numbers. But he's unreliable and this just seems believable. So they kind of are good to kind of write him off. But that being said, I agree with this, with you on the stupidity of Devon and Kevin, though, because it seems like they're really happy to trust Nicole and Danny. And we all know that that's a bad idea.
The boy who cried wolf is how I refer to David now.
Yeah.
But we should consider, too, that Kevin is a pushover too, right? Like he is not he doesn't play an aggressive game. He's much more reactionary and kind of hanging on like a cat on the screen door. So Devon is really leading their game, right? These two people's game.
Yeah.
So I think Kevin is useless. He's just like, Kevin, do what I say, right?
Has Kevin won anything?
He won veto in week 4.
He won veto.
He took himself off the block. Yeah. Yeah, and he may end up being someone that's pulled along to the end because he's likable. Like everyone seems to like him okay, and he won't be hard to beat, like, at the end. Because, I mean, everybody would be like, well, he didn't win anything. He just kind of, you know. So I could see him being someone that would be just kind of drug along.
In his season 11, he came in third place. So
okay, so David comes up with a plan to expose Danny as, you know, whatever, but it backfires, and that even made him more of a target. This is at the beginning of this episode. We come back from commercial and we hear everyone's doing the game, trying to win this puzzle game. We hear a few people's reasons for why they need to win. Not very important to me. Enzo is struggling, as we discussed. Nicole struggles also. And in the end...
And Nicole says, oh, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to cheat off of so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah.
So Fuckface wins, and
would you like to narrow that down?
Otherwise known as Memphis.
Memphis.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah. Memphis. Devon called him governor. Like, was that a slight? Is that a slight? Because it would be a slight if it... I mean, you know, a black person calling a white guy a name of, you know, governor is a power position, right? Like, I think that's a good burn, if you ask me.
I would like to bring up something about that later, though.
Okay. Okay. So the mean girls, Danny and Nicole, are plotting against David in the storeroom. How to keep twisting the knife, essentially, to make him look like he's the one who flipped the vote. That makes him no longer trusted. And then he gets angry and has an outburst.
Well, wait a minute. Does Danny know that Nicole was the one that flipped the vote?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I missed that part.
They planned it.
Okay, I missed that part.
They knew, yeah. I mean, Danny and Nicole planned it all along. They're like, oh, yeah, these three think you're going to... But the other thing that... And I know what's going to end up happening, and we talked about it all season. We're going to get all the low hangers out, and then we're going to start, you know, eating up the big alliance. That's just what's going to happen. I mean, they're going to. So what I don't quite understand, other than we need to have episodes between now and then, they might as well just, you know what? They might as well just get rid of Devon, Kevin and David all in one episode, and then just give us the six fighting against each other with Enzo. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, it's obvious what's going to happen over the next 3 weeks, because Davon, Kevin, and David aren't going to win any competitions, and the six are going to run everything for the next 3 weeks. But I mean, what I don't understand, well, Mike is shaking his head. Did you have a comment on that?
Yeah, this is baseball. This isn't the NFL. So our seasons are long. Sit back, get a beer. They're going to play six games. You're going to watch all of it. You're going to put your feet up. Maybe you're going to miss a couple of episodes here and there, but like, this is the game. Like, it's
yeah, we're
a
basically
game.
Only at the 50 yard line right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's so... The thing that irritates me about Big Brother now is the fact that we get
excuse
these
me
huge...
1 second. Archer, there's no 50-yard line in baseball.
No, did he say 50-yard line?
He said, I thought he said he was talking about football. I don't know the sports ball.
It's not football.
Okay, well, basically, then we're in the middle of the season, okay?
Right, but I'm just saying, like, my complaint is that we get these huge alliances and they just pick off the weaklings, you know, or the less popular. I think it goes back to not being in the popular group when I was in high school. Yeah. And I really hate having that popular, unpopular thing. It's like very traumatic for me. But
Adam, you do that every year.
I know. I need to see a therapist. But anyway, thank you, Mike. I have seen therapists before. I mean, I'm not currently. But anyway, the thing that kind of strikes me about this is they're making such a big deal about setting these three up and stuff, or like David specifically right now, but I'm sure it'll like the next time it'll be Davon and the next time. And it's like, why do you even need to go to all that much trouble of like making somebody look worse than they already are and all this, because you've got a six person alliance that's just going to win a competition and vote them out anyway. So why do you need to like put all this effort into coming up with a plan to like put a target on David's back and all that? I mean, I just, you know, and then what Memphis is going to do later, it makes no sense to me. His whole acting like David is some big target he needs to get out. You know, it's like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, crazy. Anyway.
No jumping ahead.
Apologies.
Okay. Okay, so David has his outburst, and that sort of settles it for a lot of people. However, David is picking up that Danny and Nicole are the architects of this swing vote, right? So I think he's finally pegging in. All right, we go to Taco.
When they were planning all of this, by the way, just real quick, Nicole says, but David's going to kind of leak this, and what are we going to do then? And Danny replied, like, who's going to believe him? So like, this was part of the plan. It's playing out, and I think she's right. I don't think anyone's going to believe David. He's not going to have any new friends anytime soon.
Well, even his outburst, nobody even flinched at that.
That's true.
The poor guy, he is, you know, he is getting the worst. I don't know how to explain it. He's being portrayed. He's really screwed himself, shot himself in the foot, right? Because now everything he does is...
Well, he's just limping through the game. I mean,
right. He's now the irrational woman on the plane, right?
Oh.
Well, also, it didn't help that Kevin went back to Danny and said that he wants you to place the tie vote or tie-breaking vote so that you will have blood on your hands. And Danny lost it at that.
He did do that. I remember that now.
I mean, that was a stupid move on Kevin's part.
Okay.
Isn't it amazing that every season the ones that are on the bottom don't seem to be able to band together? Because I feel like if they could... I don't know. I just, you know, that things might turn out differently, but it always seems like they just never can quite get it together.
All right. Bottom.
It's taco night and Cody is cooking for everybody and being a gentleman and letting everybody have their food. And then everyone gets called to the living room for the have-nots.
They take all their food with them.
And they're all scarfing that food down, jamming it in.
Except Cody.
Before someone says their name. So Christmas and Cody get chosen as the have-nots, and Christmas is pissed off at Davon.
And Davon was like, well, what did you expect? You put me up on the block when you were had a household.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this brings Christmas into a new light. Now, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I've said too much this episode. Go ahead, Faye.
How do you get mad that I don't understand the anger either. This isn't the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, somebody else in this group is more deserving of the punishment somehow.
Yeah, like, how dare you?
But, yeah.
Now, someone was talking about Christmas on this panel and how they liked them and didn't like them. Who was that?
Well, I like Christmas.
Oh, yes. You're defending Christmas this episode.
Well, and I picked her for my one of the positions.
He's not defending her. She's the one he picked to win the game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know it's a buzzword, but she's turning into a Karen for me. She just feels
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say Karen.
I could totally see her, you know, going into a Starbucks and not wearing her mask and then yelling at everyone. I could tell.
I want to see your manager.
Yeah. Well,
I want to see when she gets voted out. I want her to see to refuse to put the mask on when she goes to talk to Julie.
I'm just going to be really short and sweet about this because I've talked too much this episode, but it just was
your show, you know.
It was a contrast between the thing that really put it over for me was the fact that she was crying last week because she was so traumatized when she put Davon up, and not even letting Davon and Bailey be upset with her. It was just too much of a burden on poor little Christmas that they were unhappy. And then this week, she can't be just okay with being put in. It's not even a big deal. Like, I mean, it's not, she's not on the block. Thank you. That's it. I'm done. It was just.
Christmas is also on my list. I believe I have her as the comp beast on my pick list. Okay. So we come back from commercial. We have three blondes in a tub. And Nicole.
It was like was she drunk?
I doubt. Who knows?
I think she's just.
It looked like they did have like canned rosé and strawberries. Did you see?
Yeah.
So I think there was maybe some day drinking going on or something.
But they don't let them drink all the time, do they? Mm-mm. I mean, they were strict to that, right?
I think HOH gets some sort of allowance of some sort because I've heard other HOHs say, like, will you come back for a beer or something like that before?
To be clear, so in case people listening aren't sure, Nicole tripped and fell as she stepped out of the tub and took a header.
And they were helping her out.
Yeah. Danny was holding her hand.
Did that tub not look comically small with three women in there, though? I mean, I know it's not really a small tub, but it's supposed to look like this massive, like, corner whirlpool sort of thing, and it's just not as big as and luxurious as.
Well, I think it's the original tub they've been using for years.
It could be. I wonder if it has jets.
Okay. Davon is still not talking to David. David calls Memphis. Sorry, my notes say fuckface. David calls Memphis doctor, another power word. Why is everyone giving him these monikers of,
I don't know,
regalness?
Respect.
Well, that has something to do with what I want to talk about later.
Still later? Because I'm almost done here. Okay.
In the spoiler section, Archer? Or
The spoilers. The spoilers.
Okay.
All right. So, doctor. So, David goes in to the doctor's office. And the doctor says, I'm not going to put you on. He's such a dick about the deals. I have a deal for you. You're going to do this for me, and I'm going to do this for you. Now, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to put you on the block. You will shake on it. You will not play the veto.
Also, don't tell any of your
tell
friends.
Anybody.
Don't tell any of your friends we talked.
He says that's what's really important. Can't tell anybody.
Bully thing to say.
And so then he nominates. You know, it's very mysterious because we don't know what is his plan. He's not telling anybody anything. And then he goes and he nominates Devon and Kevin. Devon and her hoop earrings.
Well, he says that his plan, I don't know if it was like in one of those one-on-one shots or if he's talking to someone, but he says that his plan is to backdoor David. But mm-hmm. but why? Like, I mean, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but I'm just like, why are you acting like this is such a big thing that you need to backdoor David? Like, the worst player in the house.
It's not like he wins anything.
Right.
He doesn't win a thing.
Right. But Mavis is like, I've got a big plan this week. I've got things I've got to accomplish. You know? And he's like, I'm going to backdoor David. You know? It's like, what? I don't know.
Okay. Any other comments? Because I have a thing to say about this.
I'll save mine. Go ahead.
Okay. Because there's nobody else to nominate. Like, there's the six players and the three duds. So who's he going to nominate? Memphis has hated David from the beginning. He's been on the target for whatever reason. And
but I mean, do you honestly think, you know, we're going to get to the end of the game? Memphis is sitting there and you know, second seat, and he goes, "Hey, my big game move was backdooring David. Let's go."
The term backdoor doesn't even make sense because that's generally used to kind of handicap someone so they can't play in a veto. They're blindsided and they have no way out of it. They're just kind of forced out the back door. But like, just put him on the block. Let him, you know, let him know he's going home. He won't be able to fight it. But
also, maybe I've missed something in Big Brother my entire time watching it, but his whole deal with David, shake my hand and say you won't use the veto if you win it, that's for nothing. Like, he wants to backdoor David, so like that accomplishes nothing. Like, I mean, unless he just doesn't want to have to put up anyone else other than David. So that's why he did it. Maybe that's why he did it.
What is Memphis going to do if David actually does win the veto? Then his whole plan is screwed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I just figured it out. He made a deal with David that David wouldn't use the veto. So if David does happen to win it, it's like a safety measure. Memphis
at least one of the ladies or Kevin or
I thought the deal was that he wouldn't play in the veto.
No, it was he won't use it if he wins.
Okay.
Because if he gets pulled, he gets pulled, you know?
Right.
Okay. So Devon and Kevin are put up because they used the veto last week. So I guess you can't use a veto without becoming a target or saving.
That was the shittiest reasoning for putting anybody on the block. Yeah.
It's like he's the U.S. Senate now. He's just making shit up and doing whatever. He just, whatever the rules are, it's what he wants.
He's Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
That was Memphis's version of David going, "Did you use the veto on me? Did you use the veto on me?" Nobody fucking believed that.
Yeah.
All right, and then that's all I have. So Archer's going to talk, but we did hear that the Zingbot would be here on Wednesday.
Yes.
Good.
Okay, so you guys remember Reagan Fox? He was on season 12 of Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I follow him on Twitter, and he's been throwing these things out all season. And 3 days ago, he put out this post, and he lists all of the weeks and who was nominated for eviction on the weeks. And he says, for those keeping score at home, 7 weeks into the game, and Memphis is going to put up some combination of David, Devon, and Kevin. In the first 7 weeks, 14 initial nominees, 11 of them were people of color. This is shameful, is what he says.
And I went back and looked at the statistics, and you know, another statistic, not a single person of color has been head of household. They're all been white so far. So he's what he's basically calling out is CBS is continuing this systemic racism of, you know, by letting this happen, that these white people are constantly putting up people of color and voting them out, getting rid of them.
I'm not coming to defense or anything, but wasn't the guy that banged the pots and pans,
Josh, didn't he
become a head of household?
No, I'm talking about this season.
Oh, this season. Gotcha.
This season.
Okay, never mind.
Currently season 22.
How do you solve this? Do we add more people of color to the cast? That certainly wouldn't resolve the head of house or the nomination problem. It would only increase it.
You know, I don't know how to solve it, but it's obvious that Memphis, because he did it in both of his times as head of household, he put up black people. Because the first time he put up, Nicole A, David and Nicole A, and now he's put up Davon and Kevin. Is Kevin black, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Asian isn't? Doesn't he have an Asian? One parent is Asian, and the other one is.
You know, Sam would know this. You know, she has it on her index card.
Sam, yet another reason we need you here.
You know, and I'm not trying to make a big point here. I'm just saying this is interesting statistics that Reagan Fox has brought up, and that it's sad because all the black people are people of color are being voted out and not getting head of household.
It is sad, but and I don't want to defend CBS, but at the same time, like we were just saying, like, well, what could CBS possibly do? You know, I mean, if they have house guests who, I mean, I don't want to call all of them racist because I don't know them personally. I'm not saying
that they're racist, but
you know,
at least in Memphis's case, it kind of looks like he might be a racist.
Maybe having more people of color, because I think one thing that happens in a game like Big Brother is you end up aligning with people who have things in common with you, and voting out people who don't. And I think it can be very easy to have more in common if you're a white person. You know, if you're a white giggly girl or something, to have more in common with the other white giggly girls in the house. And so, you know, or whatever, or if you're, you know, a white macho, you know, whatever. Or and the same thing with the people of color, you know, they could possibly band together as well. So maybe having more people of color, like Mike said, would definitely help. But I mean, you are kind of looking for things that you have in common with people to figure out who you're going to align with, especially at the very beginning.
Well, I also think, too, that the way you're discussing having more people of color in there, to make it really work, you would have to have a season where it was all people of color.
Yeah.
Okay. Moose, and then Mike. Moose?
I have no way to solve this. The other than most of the alliances tend to be along racial lines. You know, even Davon and Bailey formed an alliance early and tried to get David in it, but you know, he just didn't seem to bite. Uh-huh. I'm kind of surprised that they couldn't include Kacer in that. But
he's considered a person of color.
Yes, he is. So
I think CBS could potentially do a little bit better at casting people of color in those alpha male roles that we know are going to make it to the final five. You know, like a lot of times the people of color on the cast tend to be people who give great diary room interviews and, you know, kind of are the narrators for seasons, but they're not necessarily comp beasts that are kind of competing in that area. So I guess they could cast better, you know, and kind of diversify in that direction.
Well, see, I would expect Kevin to Kacer or David to be better at competitions, but this year they have both been horrible.
Well, definitely David.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Reagan Fox was not suggesting that anything specific be done. He's just calling it out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I always thought I mean, maybe this is self-serving, but I always thought they should have some more LGBT member, you know, having one,
I agree, more than one,
having one LGBT person in a cast of like 16 or whatever they start with, you know, I feel like they could do better than that as well.
They need to have a couple gay men in there so they can have a showman's.
They have before. Hall.
Now, Mike would like to be in there with Enzo.
Yes, he would.
Now, Mike, if you were in there with Enzo, would you pull the covers up and not let the camera see, or are you just going to show off?
Well, here's the thing I would do is I would do that and then like make it out to be a bigger deal than it actually was.
Okay.
Because you would just get audio, you know? So I could make you think I was doing anything I wanted.
They'd pull the covers up and Mike would go, oh, yeah, you liked it.
How do you know that's the sound that I actually make?
Well, because you just sound like it was.
Okay, that's all that I have, boys and girls.
All right. So, well, we don't have any extra bonus questions tonight.
Oh.
I've had Pride 48 all weekend.
We didn't want to do that without Sam here. So
yeah, that's
the reason.
By the
way, Faye, we missed you last week.
Oh, thank you. I missed
you.
Did
you miss me last week?
Were you not here? You were here last week, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
No.
Yeah, we missed you too.
Thanks, Big Fatty.
I just saw you all weekend long.
So I know.
So let's do the goodbyes so that we can let anyone go. Well, Faye, did you have anything else before we say goodbyes? Because you're going to leave. I know, because you don't want to hear spoilers. So, all right. Well, Faye, where can you be reached if anyone wants to contact you?
You can look for me at pinkwheelnuts.com. I have 2 episodes recorded, but I don't have no idea when I'll get them out. So something's
coming. You're
behind
the Patreon wall.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Moose, where can you be reached?
Moose P on Twitter.
All right, and Archer, where can you be reached?
Archer.com.
And Mike, where can everyone hear your comedy stylings?
I am on Twitter. Please send dick pics. I am at Marco Rubio.
And Fatty, where can you be reached?
Well, I got nothing.
All right. Well, Fatty can be reached. Well, Mr. Michael, I said Mr. Michael. I'm giving Mike respect. Mike can be reached at Mr. Mike Lawson, I believe, on Twitter. Fatty can be reached at BigFattyOnline.com. I can be reached at GeekyGay.com. And we can be reached at ButFirstPodcast.com. You can also find many more LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts at Pride48.com. From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam Burns Moonves. Let's listen in on the All-Stars.
What Julie's farewell message was.
Be kind to one another. All right.
Yeah.
It was a horrible misquoting of the Bible verse of judge not lest ye be judged. Why couldn't she just say that? Everybody fucking knows.
You know
judge
what?
Not lest ye be judged.
I'm going to send in a suggestion for this coming week. Be kind. Rewind.
Oh, brother. All right. Bye, Dr. Governor.
Bye.
Bye, Governor.
Bye.
All right. There ain't much. As far as spoilers, Tyler wins the power veto and does not use it.
So either Davon or Kevin are going home.
That's surprising that Tyler doesn't use it, because isn't he working on some level with Memphis? And if Memphis really had this big backdoor David plan, you know, I mean, would he have not been able to convince Tyler?
Tyler and David were working together also. So that's kind of his way of
evening out the whole thing.
Well, it's kind of his way of protecting David.
It must be really confusing to be Tyler and be working with every single other person in the house. Like, how do you make a decision ever?
He asked Angela.
All right. And that's the only.
I don't know any other spoilers either.
Well, I've been watching the feeds this week at all. So, I don't know.
Oh, really? Do you watch them?
Yeah, because I have CBS All Access for a couple of months. Just while this is on.
I mean, I know you all know this, presenter. But watching the feeds is about as exciting as watching paint dry.
Oh my god,
very boring.
I mean, I think someone even said if I really wanted to sit around and watch people eat cereal for 3 hours,
you know what? I think I like the things on YouTube. There's this one channel that puts out these little, you know, like 2 minute clips of pretty much the highlights of the.
And they tell you why it's important, even if it's just like Devon talks about Black Lives Matter. Like, you know what you're getting into and why you're watching it, instead of just like, wonder if this conversation is going to be important or not.
Right. And that's the same way with their Twitter feed, too. I have who is it that I follow on the Twitter? It's something Big Brother.
It's the Twitter.
But it's like a fan. It's a fan person who's doing the.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Big Brother Daily, BB_updates. And they will just throw out, like this one from an hour ago. Nicole to Christmas. I didn't think changing a vote would cause this much turmoil. All I did was not vote the way she, Devon, thought I was voting. I did nothing more, nothing less.
So who do we?
You lied about it too.
Yeah.
So who do we think
playing the game? But anyway,
who do we think they're going to send home, Devon or Kevin?
Oh,
flip a coin. I think for a lot of people,
it's. I think they'll send Devon because I think they'll keep Kevin because he can't. Well, Devon didn't win anything either, but
she did win that mini pint, whatever.
She did. Yeah, but Kevin has been nominated four times this season,
and if he stays, he'll be nominated a fifth time.
Yeah, so maybe he's going home this week.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Devon would be. I'm liking Devon this season more than I did the original season she was on, but I think she would be the smarter choice to send home because Devon, even though she's been so ignorant the past few weeks as far as trusting people that she shouldn't trust, I think she is a more strategic player, and Kevin is just playing at all.
She's got to try to trust somebody. All she's got is Kevin now. I mean, it's like, this ain't going to get me to the end.
I know, but Dave, she could have trusted. She could have tried a little bit harder to trust David, I think. But anyway.
But he was so stupid this whole time. I mean,
I know.
They tried so hard to try to bring him in the fold, but he's just stupid.
I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me because, not being in the house and we see these edited, episodes and I just think, how do they not see it, and maybe if I was in the house I wouldn't see it either, but so I just keep thinking, oh my god, how is she trusting people that are so obviously not working with her? But maybe it's not obvious to her, I don't know. But I think she would be the smarter choice to send home, and I think Kevin should just be, like I said, I feel like he may just end up being drug along to the end, either him or David won. I mean, if Tyler's able to drag David all the way and then beat David at the end, but one of them I think is going to get drug along though. I feel like,
you think if Tyler and David go to the end that Tyler would win?
Oh yes. Yeah. Everyone hates David.
Yeah. I have to remember it's the jury that's voting, not the American people.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some talk Tyler and Christmas want to, Fatty, or anyone, tell me if you've heard this too, that Tyler and Christmas want to, in their goodbye message to the next outgoing house guest, spoil Nicole's vote. That they want to tell whoever's outgoing that she actually voted for Ian to leave, so that the jury house is spoiled.
Mm.
So that would be interesting.
I hadn't heard either, but I think they should do it. Yeah, because Ian needs to know that Danielle voted against him.
Nicole, you mean?
No.
Nicole. Yeah.
There's no Danielle this season.
Sorry.
I don't believe.
Sorry.
Nicole. Or Danny is Danielle.
Oh, Danny. Okay. Yeah.
I meant Nicole.
I was really surprised that one of them in the goodbye message told about the entire alliance. Normally they don't do that when a person is going to jury.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who did that?
Was that Tyler?
I was going to say, I think it was Tyler who spilled it.
Yeah, I'm surprised because they try so hard not to put, once they get to jury, Julie doesn't say anything gameplay related really in their interviews. And I'm surprised that they, and maybe they've always done this and I just haven't noticed it, but I felt like, I also felt like having an entire alliance outed in that message to someone who was going to jury would have been something that maybe production would have edited out or, you know, not let get shown to a jury member, but maybe they've always done that. I don't know.
But since he's the first jury member, everyone coming after him will say, will tell him.
I guess
who all's in an alliance together,
and maybe they consider it gameplay as well. Maybe they're like, well, you know, we're not. Julie's not going to tell them anything, but if the house guests decide to, then that's gameplay. I don't know. All right. Well, do we have anything else?
I believe that's called jury management.
Could be. Anything else from the peanut gallery?
Nothing.
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out other great podcasts at pride48.com/shows.